to The Things We Do For Love, the podcast which talks about the things we do for love and the lengths we go to in the name of love. It might be familial love, that time you helped your mum move house while you were giving birth. Or it might be romantic love. Who hasn't made a gigantic version of someone they fancy's head out of the ingredients of a roast? So I've got a little jingle to do, but I'm going to bring on the guest first. This week, my guest is the brilliant comedian and broadcaster, Mr. John Robbins.
Hello, everyone.
If anyone doesn't... Was anyone here for the last podcast?
Yeah.
So for those who weren't, am I right in saying John has had a little bit to drink?
I'm a broadcaster.
Yes, you are. And he also was half naked at the end of the other one. Yeah, so we're hoping for full nakedness with this one. Yes, why not? From the broadcaster, John Robbins.
I'm a broadcaster.
Yes, you are. He's a broadcaster on Radio X, formerly known as XFM.
We dare not speak his name.
That's true. Right, I'm going to do the jingle, John. John knows nothing of the jingle. I'm going to do an extended version of the jingle at the end of our chat, but this is going to be the opening one. The things we do for love. The things we do for love. This week, I'm joined by...
John Robbins.
He is a...
great guy.
The things we do for love. His hair colour is...
mousy.
The last time he sleepwalked was...
never.
The things we do for love. The things we do for love.
Yay!
Well done, John. You're a singer as well.
Well, a sayer, and also not a sleepwalker.
No, that just sprung into my head, that was improvised.
That's riffing, we're just jamming.
Yes, we are just jamming.
Vibing it as it comes.
So, John.
Yeah.
The first thing that I did for love was, when I was about 6 or 7, I demanded to have my hair cut like David Swain's.
Well, I have no idea who it is, though that is, so I'm going to enjoy this story.
Well, it's basically that I went to Rupert's hairdressers in Matlock and said, can you cut my hair like David Swain's? Because I knew that he went there. And Rupert said, why do you want me to do this? And I said, because I'm in love with him. And he said, are you sure you want me to do this? And I said, yes. And he said, you know, he's got, like, a shaved head. Like a number one. So I was like, oh, maybe that is a bit harsh. Like, I'm a 6-year-old girl. So then...
you look like you were out of Treblinka.
Yeah, I know.
Good job you weren't in love with Brian May.
Yeah, we'd have had to do it. I don't know if they did extensions in Matlock in the 80s. So in the end, he did cut it like a boy, but it wasn't like David Swain's. But it was enough. David Swain heard that I'd asked to have it cut like him, and then he didn't, you know.
Well, that's the key, isn't it, that they need to hear that you've made the gesture. Because the idea that David Swain's would be impressed with the fact that you'd had your hair cut like someone of the same gender as him, and then he would go, hey, everyone, did you hear that Izzy Sutty had her hair cut in the gender of a boy? And I'm a boy, so we'll have to get married to each other because of the boy connection between our haircuts. That would be insane.
Well, that's what I wanted to happen.
Yeah, but those things never happen.
Oh, I know. Well, what I was going to ask was, what's your earliest memory of doing something like that to try and snare someone?
Well, the thing is, the gestures that we do courting-wise are my individual shame well. And I do now at 33 years old struggle to get to sleep when I remember them, so I have to be sort of careful because there's quite a few and I just feel awful, which is a shame because they're all done with the very best intentions.
Well, that's it, you're doing it to try and get them to either notice you or love you more or marry you or, you know,
but the problem
move
is,
in or you know, make your face in the shape of...
a roast.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that because of social media now, you never know what if one of them's listening.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, do you want to change their names?
Yeah, okay.
I've used David Swain's real name. But, I mean, he didn't do anything wrong apart from have a haircut. So I don't see how he could be annoyed.
I think pre-puberty we can use their real names.
Okay.
And maybe post we change them. Because it's more sort of sweet when you're 10.
Yes. When did you go through puberty?
The 90s, broadly. At some point during the 90s, and I'm not going to say which year.
And you were born in 1980?
Two.
1982, okay.
So it's definitely...
That's right, there was an intake of breath there. 1982, that's all right. So you mean you were eight or old, you were between 8 and 18?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm happy for that to go on record. But I went in puberty between the ages of 8 and 18. And there's no shame in that. So my first ever love token was a Valentine's Day gift, I think in like year four, so I would have been 9-ish. I don't know, I'm guessing all these. But it was a Valentine's Day gift to a girl called Donna Tucker.
That's
a real name.
That's a great name.
If you change that to rhyming wise, you're in trouble. And I bought her a teddy bear with a heart that says, I love you. And a box of chocolates. I can't remember, but they were like pyramid shaped, but not a full pyramid. It was like a pyramid cut off at the base. Can anyone remember that brand of chocolates?
So not a triangle, but like a 3D pyramid, but only half of it.
Like, no, so it's a square, it moves in at the sides, and then it stops. They were minty.
Yeah, I remember them being, I think they might have been called pyramid.
I think they maybe were.
Were they? Yes.
Yeah, okay, thanks, man. So
that was a lie.
I took them into
should
class.
Have been called half pyramid, yeah.
And she returned the teddy bear, ate the chocolates, and then got off with a kid called Luke. Well, I say got off, we were 9. I think they probably played Kiss Chase together, a bit too much for my liking. And then I think 8 years later, she wrote in my school leaving book that she... wondered what could have been.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. Mm. So did she get off with Luke on the same day that you gave her all that stuff?
Yes, and he was a farmer. Well, a farmer's son. He wasn't a farmer at 9. But I know for a fact he used to brag that he swam in the milk vat before it went to sale. Which gives you some indication of the lax approach to hygiene that many farmers have. Not all farmers. There are some good eggs.
That's incredible.
Who produce some good eggs.
Well done, John. You're really on fire.
Thanks, mate.
This is your second podcast and you're fully clothed.
Yeah.
He swam in the milk vat. So that didn't work. Have you done anything else on Valentine's? Well, did that kind of make you go, I'm not ever going to do anything on Valentine's Day again?
I wish it had. Two more Valentine's Day issues. So now we move on to early sixth form. No, actually, this was back in still in lower school. I bought a girl a card, Valentine's Day. Quite a moving card, which I wrote. I wrote in the card. And I can't remember what I was quoting. I would have been 12, I think. And I said, I'd rather be blue thinking of you than happy with somebody else.
Aww.
You say, ah. She didn't speak to me for 8 years. And then following that, and this is the worst, this is probably the biggest sort of receptacle of shame from the shame well. At school, I once ordered 12 roses for a girl who I knew full well had a boyfriend. They were delivered at her house with a needlessly emotional note. I was 12. I was sad and scared and ashamed. this isn't very lighthearted, is it?
It's all right. No. I just
got her too many... Well, I got her too many roses, one being too many. I got her 12 of them and sent them to her house. And,
with a handwritten note?
Yeah.
So you didn't have to dictate it to... Because that's what used to happen,
oh,
isn't
no,
it?
This was pre-internet, so I went straight into TJ Lewins of Thornbury. Who... three or four years ago, a guy committed suicide by driving a car into them full of petrol and his dog. And burnt to death in the very same florist that I ordered those roses in. So, had I known that was going to happen. But yeah, too many flowers to someone who's already got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
For Christ's sake, John, what were you thinking?
And did
this
you
is
want...
what I say when I'm in my sleep.
Did you want? Did you want her to know it was you?
Well, I wrote my name on it.
See, that's the thing. So.
Oh, it's the worst. I'm going to kill myself already.
Well, you could drive into the florists. You can't drive though, can you?
What the fuck, mate?
Can you? Can you?
I can drive for England. I've driven over 500,000 miles in my life. That's to the moon and back. Who thinks I can't drive?
I mean,
fucking idiots can't drive.
When I look at you, I don't see someone who can drive.
What? Jesus Christ. I can really drive. I passed my test in the year 2000.
Yeah, I have actually remembered now that you...
I taught you how to drive.
Yeah.
We drove to Matlock with you in the front seat and me in the passenger seat.
And you were very calm when I missed multiple turn-offs.
I was pretending to be very calm.
But the fact that you coached me in the car for about 5 hours and I can't remember means you must really look as if you can't drive.
I more than anyone I know, can drive. I don't trust people who can't drive.
Don't you?
No.
Hey, just by way of a cheer, cheer if you can't drive. 1, 2, 3.
How can you not drive? How have you got the confidence to get your arms tattooed up to the sleeve? And not the confidence to spend 20 half hours in the company of someone whose career's not really worked out and they've applied to Red Driving School. How can you... What's your name?
James.
James, how old are you, James?
25?
Mate, you've missed the bus by 7 years. What's your problems? Gears, reverse parking. What is it?
Don't need to.
Don't need to? All right, because what, you live in an agrarian society from the past? You live in medieval England. How do you not need to drive? You live above where you work?
Yeah. Where
do you work in a chicken cottage? Where do you work?
I run a record store.
You run a record store? Yeah. Well, that's a dying industry. You're going to have to learn to drive pretty soon, mate.
Have you ever had a lesson?
No.
John will give you one.
I'll give you a lesson, mate. A lesson in responsibility. What record store do you live above?
Crazy Beat Records.
Crazy Beat Records?
Where's that?
You named that in the late 90s, didn't you?
I didn't name it. It's in Upminster.
Upminster?
Yes. Mm.
Yes, it. I know where Upminster is. I didn't, actually.
I learned to drive in Elephant and Castle, where I lived at the time, which is vibrant. There was a bit where I...
She means you can smell weed.
I used to drive, if anyone knows Elephant, it's just a couple of roundabouts. It's so scary. But I used to drive up and down Walworth Road, and then the hour would be up, because the traffic was so bad, I never used to leave first gear. So there was this bit where this man, who I was slightly scared of, went to walk out in front of the car, and I waved him across... and then accelerated. Because I lost, you know when you panic, and I just put my foot down, then my instructor was like, calm down, Izzy, calm down. And we turned this corner, and then it was really tight, and there were loads of builders, and I drove over a builder's trainers that were in a carrier bag.
We should rename this podcast, The Things You Do to Pass Your Driving Test.
Yes, we should.
But do keep it in. I think it gives it a human touch.
By the way, has anyone ever done anything on Valentine's Day that they kept totally anonymous and did just for the sake of being an act of love? They didn't actually ever want to be found out. They were just giving the person something to feel better about themselves and know that they were loved by someone. No. Yes. Oh, we've got a mic. Has Ben got the mic? Yes. Hello, what's your name?
It's Sinead.
Sinead.
It's not actually me, it's my brother. Basically, in junior school, he kind of fancied this girl called Jenny. And
is that a real name?
Yeah.
It's fine. Okay, Sinead, it's fine.
It's fine. And she... Basically, he was so enamoured by her that he went to... He actually told my mum, can you go and buy a ring for her? And it was a gold one with a tiny little diamond in there. And then...
how old was he at this point?
He was about 9, 10.
And how minted are your parents? Mother, please get me a gold ring with a diamond. I'm not being fickle. This is the real thing. I'm 9, I should know by now.
Well, money was no object to him, so obviously...
How is money no object to a 9-year-old?
To a 9-year-old, okay. You think, oh yeah, your parents have got, you know, like dad and mum's, you know, sort of thing. So, yeah, and, she kind of figured it was him because they, yeah, he always professed his love to her. And, yeah, and she's very gracious about it and, like, all the cast knew, and...
All the cast?
Class.
Oh, right, I was going to say, what this mad drama you're creating.
No, all the class knew, and...
So there was a ring?
Yeah, it was a ring. It was, like, in a heart shape with a tiny little diamond.
And it was actual gold?
It was actual gold.
What? Were you insane?
For a child,
but that must have cost over £100.
God only knows. I have no idea.
And did what? She keep the ring?
Fuck yeah, she did. A 9-year-old girl. Do you want a gold and diamond ring? It's from an insane person with very rich parents. Ooh, let me think about that. Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that... But they've never gone out, and I don't know. So, you know, it was really sweet at the time. And, like, I used to think, you're such a fucking idiot. You are, though. I mean, come on. But,
I hate
yeah.
to break it to you, your parents are fucking idiots. Who buys a diamond ring for a 9-year-old boy?
It wasn't a big diamond.
It wasn't a big diamond. Oh, fair enough. So as long as it's only a small diamond.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big diamond.
That's
it was big enough to be in the shape of a heart on a gold band. Christmas Day.
Is he got a girlfriend now?
No.
Though his parents are bankrupt.
I thought you were going to say like they got it from Argos or something.
I think it was from there. Oh, no. Yeah, they were doing all these rings and I can't remember where it was.
God.
But yeah.
Wow. Would your mum have done that for you, do you think?
Yes, against a... No, well, no, she wouldn't have bought me a diamond ring at 9 because she's not a sultan. I mean, she's self-employed. She's a yoga teacher. But she did once drive me to Yate to deliver some flowers to a girl I kissed at a party, which... Oh, God, this is a torrid tale. I kissed a girl at a party. People made fun of me. I then fell for the girl. No, I fell for her before I kissed her, for Christ's sake. I got feelings. I'm not a stone. And I delivered some flowers to her house in Yate.
Yate, you keep saying, is this a place?
Yes. Let me put this into context. Yate is over 8 miles from Thornbury. It was not really scalable by bus or walk. And I needed a driver. I think I was 15 at the time.
So she may or may not have gone through puberty.
It's in that ballpark. She was 3 years my elder. Oh, mistress of informed sexual practice.
So she was 18 and you were 15, so if you'd had sex, you would have been under the age of consent.
And she would have gone to prison. I would have got away scot-free. The flowers were delivered. My mum waited outside the house. She was sort of pleasant. And then it was her birthday quite soon. Before that, we arranged a date in Bristol and she didn't turn up and I called her mum 8 times. And on a payphone.
Yes.
Yeah, and so this is pre-mobile for all of you young people. And I called her 8 times. She thought it was sort of a casual arrangement. She then said, it's unacceptable for you to call my mum 8 times in the space of an hour and a half. I said, it's unacceptable for me to sit on the steps of McDonald's for an hour and a half. And then it was her 19th birthday, and I may have bought her 7 presents.
Can you remember any of them?
Yes. A Che Guevara biography. A CD single of Paul Weller's You Do Something to Me. Book of Love Poetry, Faber. Picture frame, notebook, and I can't remember the other two.
They're pretty well thought out, though. That's not
They're
like
too well thought out, is he? They're thought out like a murderer thinks out his thinks out his process. She then, on my 16th birthday, got me a postcard from where she was on holiday at the time, which luckily I didn't have access to the international dialing code for, so I was unable to contact her, and things fell apart soon afterwards.
That's always such a good indicator, isn't it? I was going out with someone once, and I decided to make him a penguin out of papier-mâché.
The classic.
Not out of the ingredients of a roast, out of papier-mâché, thank you. But that was to try and sort things out, because I could tell that things were on their last leg. So in a way, they didn't have legs anymore. It was just limping along on stumps. So I got all the ingredients to make the penguin, and I made it out of chicken wire. And chicken wire is really hard to bend, so it ended up really big, much bigger than I intended. It was like
a story
that
as
wide.
Old as time. The chicken wire penguin turned out bigger than it should have been. How many lovers have walked down this path? Was it not Fair Byron who first spoke of the chicken wire penguin that turned out to be too big?
He had his head was made out of lampshade. I don't know if Byron's
a bit
was.
Cliched, actually.
Yeah, I know, that's what all the romantics
do. His head out of a lampshade.
Yeah.
It would have looked like a penguin who was stood under a lampshade.
No, it was a circular lampshade, you know, from IKEA, from my living room at the time, and I stuffed it with loads of newspapers, and it was like a ball, and the chicken wire, which I covered with papier-mâché and painted, had a groove in it which the head used to sit in.
I mean, I bought stuff. I never went to these lengths.
Well, it was like that was the amount of love and care I wanted to put into. I just was. I couldn't face the fact that it was like over, really. So I just
thought,
surely if I plough enough energy into this, everything will be okay.
It was over when you made the paper.
No, but it was virtually over. Like it may as well have been.
So this was the last throw of the abnormal papier-mâché penguin.
Yeah.
/ dice.
I thought I wanted you to say proverbial dice.
Yeah, I should have said that.
Yeah.
But I stumbled over the first thing.
Don't worry. Do you want another drink?
Yeah. does the Pope meet a bear and kill them both? Not quite sure what I meant by that. Yes, I'll have a dark rum and Diet Coke.
She's getting already. Could I have a Peroni, please? Thank you.
Ooh, Pizza Express. People own... Yes, yeah.
Oh,
so just
thank
to,
you.
Just to let podcast listeners know, I've been in want of a table for quite some time and I've been reaching literally as far as my sort of gibbon arms will reach. And it just about makes it on a table at the back. But producer Ben has now provided us with a lovely little table.
So he was called Roy.
Roy? Was he 60?
It was because...
Did he make his own steam engines?
It was because... Thank you. It was because he was based Roy. On the oil
Imagine, I once dated a girl at university called Jean. And she... Her first sort of line to me as we... met was, yes, I have the name of a pensioner.
Oh, you see, that's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah, very cool.
And that was a real turn on.
Oh, big time. But
did that make you hit puberty? do you remember when you saw people, when you were seeing someone rather than going out with them?
Yeah, and I've had a few chats with people now who are on Tinder. Which
is anyone here on Tinder, by way of a cheer?
All men thinking it was the realization of a fantasy they'd have for 20 years and it turns out to be just having to interact with human beings and you're like, oh sod, I thought it was just having sex with loads of people but I have to interact with human beings. Therein lies its flaw. It was invented after I began my current relationship.
So, yeah, about seeing people.
Well, yeah, so I a few friends are on Tinder, and I think it sort of speaks to what I riffed there, was that...
you're really good at riffing for a broadcaster.
Tinder suggests that it's possible to just be casual and see people and play the field, but that's not the case because you have to interact with human beings and no one wants to be your sort of plan B.
Yes.
So inevitably it comes down to the question, what is this?
Yeah, I hate that, the chat. But in Matlock, seeing didn't necessarily mean that you were also seeing other people. It just meant you probably wouldn't get a ring at Valentine's Day. You'd get like a pint. Do you know what I mean?
I like it.
So it's like you're sort of both going, you're not necessarily playing the field, but you're going, let's just see. But what's hard is when one person wants that and the other one doesn't.
Well, I think that's the inevitable end to that situation.
Mm.
And also within weeks. Like anyone who says, oh, I just see people is a sociopath. Because eventually one of you likes
we'll
the other
like
one
the other
more.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
You like each other loads and you go out. And then you're thinking, oh, I thought I was going to be seeing loads of people. But I don't really think nice people are tuned to be casual in their sexual relationships.
If your partner asks you how many people you've had sex with, you're supposed to say 8, aren't you? Unless it's less than 8.
But I think you're still meant to say 8.
Oh, is it always 8?
Yeah, because you don't want to say 2, because they'll think you're a weirdo. You don't want to say 1 million.
But yes, 8 seems...
8. Because it's not too many, it's not too few. It's like sort of when you approach a basket-only conveyor belt in a Sainsbury's.
Yes.
You've not broken the law, but you're not taking the piss. You should be in self-service with 1.
Yes.
Well, what are we talking about again?
Roy the Penguin. So he wasn't called Roy because he was named after a pensioner. He was called Roy because he was based on a real penguin who we'd seen at London Zoo. He was like slower than all the other penguins and we really fell in love with him.
So
like,
Roy isn't his real name?
Roy was the name of the penguin that we really liked at London Zoo, and then I called the papier-mâché penguin Roy.
What's the boy called?
I can't say.
Right, okay. You made it clear that he was called Roy.
No, the penguin was called Roy.
Right, that was meant to represent Roy.
Yeah.
Who's not called Roy.
No, both
We're
penguins
very
are,
similar.
Both penguins are called Roy. So there's a penguin at London Zoo called Roy, and then a penguin I made was called Roy.
And the man was unnamed.
Well, Yeah, his name was irrelevant. But, he wasn't called Roy.
No, but we can probably find out who he was from his dental records. Which I'm guessing if we dig deep enough in your garden, we'll probably find an extra oversized papier-mâché penguin called Roy.
He had shelves in his stomach as well, made out of more chicken wire.
This is the penguin. Yeah. Right. Sounds like a day-to-day thing. Man with shelves in his stomach.
Yeah, I didn't murder him and then put shelves into his stomach.
But if you had have done, you would have decorated them with your own ornaments, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I would put DVDs in them, on them, like I did with the papier-mâché Roy. But what happened was that he didn't save the relationship. The guy just thought I was mental.
Yeah, remarkable, also, really, isn't it, that a papier-mâché penguin didn't save the relationship of a man you cannot name?
It cost absolutely fuckloads to make, because I had to get all the chicken wire, which is quite expensive, and then different types of other wire. I had to get papers. I had to get felt for his wings. It just ended up mounting up. It cost about 180 quid.
And that's not taking into account man hours.
I know. I had to hide him under loads of tea towels whenever the guy came round.
You're like sort of a kooky Dennis Nilsson.
Have you ever written a song for anyone?
No, I have made, I've made a few misjudged mixtapes where, because I've got quite an extensive sort of music catalogue, I'm able to come up with at least 11 songs for any girl's name. But the problem is, if you're called, for example, I don't know, Joe, I can find you 11 songs with Joe in the title, put them on a mixtape, pop them through your letterbox, never hear from you again.
You should almost offer it as a service. If people wanted you to compile a mixtape for someone they fancied.
Yes, I mean, I think the internet has sort of usurped me in that sense. But I remember making a mixtape for a girl, and a lot of the songs were based around her name. And I think that's creepy. I would never do that now.
It's one of those things, like any of those gifts, if the person likes you back, it's great, isn't it? But if they don't anything but like you back or love you back, you are at a disadvantage. Like that's with the penguin, if he had loved me, then he would have loved it. Do you think?
I think maybe that sort of is the exception that proves the rule.
Maybe it's something you go so far that even if they love you more than anyone else, it detracts from your attractiveness. But up to that point, like if someone I fancied had given me a mixtape based around my name, I would have loved it. Like Bjork's got a song called Isabel, and that's the only one I can think of, actually. What would you put on one for me?
Okay. Izzy.
Or Isabel.
Oh, it's a good job I don't fancy you. Yeah. What a horrible thing to say. No, but that's also fine.
Just had a baby, my confidence is very low, thank you.
No, I fancy you more since you've had the baby. Because you are fertile. And I need to increase the populace. However, I have an intimate relationship with your boyfriend, an intimate professional digital-based relationship, and were I to woo you, which inevitably would be successful, it would cause fractions between me and Alice, and our digital relationship would fail. I'm not willing to risk that.
Okay.
So my guns are set to stun, not kill. I think I've managed to negotiate that quite well.
Has anyone here ever done anything like the penguin or like John giving the 12 roses and the emotional note? Like, have they ever done anything that's kind of backfired? Like made something or done a big gesture to try and get someone to fancy them? Yes, a man over there. Brilliant. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Ben, producer Ben just got a microwave Hello. To you. Yes. I was up all night last night with a baby. What's your name?
Ash.
Ash. Great name. Classic, sturdy name.
Thank you.
Sturdy name.
Yeah, Ash.
Or Ash.
Yeah.
Ash is not sturdy.
It is.
No, it's not. It's useful for... Ash is mournful. It is useful for manure. It is not sturdy.
It's a tree.
No. Oh, yeah. It was both a tree sort of before and after. I think we're getting distracted from the real point of the podcast.
If I met a mortgage broker and his name was Ash, I would do anything he said. We had a meeting with the mortgage broker where we bought a flat a few years ago, and he was like...
Peep show.
It's a split level maisonette, actually.
Josh, sitcoms are plenty. Money not a problem in the sooty household. Robin's still renting, yet to have his big break. Carry on, Ash.
We haven't got a garden.
What?
We haven't got a garden.
Nor have I.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Okay, you've got two floors.
Yeah.
You've got an address. You've got self-respect. Your family think you're doing all right. No one's questioning your career choices.
Your dad? Sarah's doing all right.
You what?
Sarah's doing all right.
If anyone didn't hear... This very nice man just said, Sarah's doing all right, and Sarah's John's girlfriend.
Yeah, and also this man in the front row has been a thorn in my side at previous live performances.
When we were in the meeting with the mortgage broker, he started saying stuff like,
hey, you've got so much money, you could afford any house.
Yes, he did.
Do I know you guys from somewhere?
Yeah. Then he said, no, we can only afford to live in Crystal Palace. But then he said...
Only afford to live in Crystal Palace. Yeah. What a terrible life you must have.
You've got a really nice flat.
That we pay rent for.
You've got a massive living room.
We do have a massive living room. That is not a euphemism.
They've got a really very interesting room with a low ceiling that you can't stand up in, like Alice in Wonderland, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. It's got mirrors on the ceiling. You cannot stand up in it. You're hobbled as soon as you enter the house. Right, cut that.
When we were in the meeting with the mortgage advisor, he said, you've got to sign this form, and it means that if you die, like, the other one will get the property.
Whoa. Who gets the property if you die?
We had to sign it to say, because we're not married, that the other one will get it. If
Alice gets the property if you die.
Yeah.
Who's his next of kin? His co-DJ. Izzy, don't sign your own death warrant.
Wouldn't that be his child?
Yes, thank you, Ash. Thank you. You see, that's what I mean. You look like an intelligent person.
She also dies in the blaze. A lot of women shaking their heads in the audience. A lot of men laughing heartily.
You know, when I pictured this podcast...
It didn't end with the death of your child.
I thought it would be like, I knitted a heart out of flax.
Let me say this now. I'll go on record, Ben, saying this now. I will never, ever destroy you and your daughter in a blaze. Whatever it is, it won't be a blaze. It'll be whatever you least expect it to be.
I don't think that legally counts as an alibi.
Thank you, Ash. Thank you.
Is he your lawyer?
Ash is waiting to tell... I just needed to say this. We signed a form and it said...
Ironic that your name is Ash.
How long have we done, by the way?
55 minutes.
Okay, right. We need to... So we are actually going to finish quite soon. we signed a form, John, that said if we die, the other one will get the property. But then we were asking the mortgage broker loads of questions like, what if we die as we're signing our names? So we've only signed our first names.
Like an Alan Partridge when the guy has a heart attack.
But he didn't know what to do. He was like, I don't know. You two should come and help me do seminars. Anyway, that's my anecdote that I've been trying to get out for the last 10 minutes. Ash, tell us your story. What did you do? Did you make something or buy it?
It was a bit different. Basically, my girlfriend at the time went away to Australia for a year. She was working at a TV company. And she came back for Christmas. And so basically, I asked her dad's permission to paint one of her walls in her room. He declined. And so I spent around 30 quid on post-it notes and arranged it in a sort of heart motif, different colours.
Like one of those pictures of Bob Marley.
Yes, very similar, yeah.
Made up of album pictures.
Yeah, pretty much, very similar. And she came back. She said she loved it. After we broke up, I was speaking to a twin.
Oh, what a great sentence.
And basically she said that she was bitching me out for the next 2 hours as she removed hundreds of post-it notes from her wall.
I'm slightly unclear on what you did with the post-it notes. Did they spell something out? Or did they
Basically, there were yellow ones and pink ones. The pink ones were arranged in a heart, and the yellow ones were like all the different decorations on the outside.
Oh, I think that's... Does anyone think that's sweet?
I think that's very sweet.
Thank you.
No, someone said no. No, I hate post-it.
Well, the problem is they sort of, after a while, they curl up, don't they?
Yeah, it took a... Yeah, I basically... Just trying to get them as flat as possible.
How many do you think you had to use in the end?
Like I said, it was like 30 quid worth of post-it notes, so there were quite a lot, yeah. Oh.
And had you written anything on them, or it was just...
Actually, all of them had I love you on them.
Yeah, no, whoa. Mate, you've made a heart. Stop there. Don't write I love you on every single one.
I always go the extra mile, it's what I do. Yeah,
that's what Fred West said.
Thanks for that.
He said it in a West Country accent, which makes him lovable, and you come out worse in comparison.
Ash, I think that's lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You think that's lovely?
I do.
What, a wall full of post-it notes that say I love you and make a heart? No, that's too much. You're talking to a man who once bought someone 8 birthday presents, for Christ's sake.
And I cried on the steps of McDonald's.
Yeah, big time. But even I think that's too much.
Oh, I think that's nice. So well done, Ash.
Thank you.
Yeah. Fuck you, mate. I didn't mean to touch your knee then, in a sort of, like, I was saying, sorry, I felt like it was a bit hard to say.
Oh, it's right, my girlfriend does that. She's terrible for that. If I'm ever talking and she wants to talk, she will interrupt, but she will touch me somewhere on my body as if to say, I really like you, but I'm saying something more important than you were saying. And it gets me so mad. And I'll be like, stop, don't do that!
Would you rather she didn't just talked, that she didn't talk?
I'd rather she respected my wisdom.
We've all seen evidence of your wisdom tonight.
Can I tell you one more thing I did?
Yes, I'd love to hear one more thing. Yes.
It's one of the worst. Okay. It's the top of my shame pile. I liked a girl. If I whisper, no one can hear on the podcast. I liked a girl. And I... Well, the first thing I did... So I wrote a poem about how depressed I was that she didn't fancy me, which was called The Dark Side of Depression.
That's worse than the post-it.
Yeah, it's worse. That's why we're whispering. And I read it to her and the rest of the drama class.
Can you remember any of it?
All of it, but I'm not going to tell you what it said. Well, the first lines were... No, I'm not going to tell you.
You've got to do it.
Okay. is bleeding and lying. It's the life of a person who's dying. So she took that quite well. And, oh God, I'm going horribly red. Can someone get me a Jaeger bomb? On her birthday, I brought her a light, a Zippo lighter. And I thought I'd get an inscription on it. And the inscription read, "Dear X, I'm always here for you. I'll always love you. All my love, John." Which is quite hard to fit on a Zippo lighter. They had to use a very small font. On her birthday, I gave her the Zippo lighter. And she was confused. Annoyingly, another person who fancied her had also got her a Zippo lighter. But I just put her name on it, which was a much better call than a long... I mean, it took up all of the Zippo lighter, what I'd written. He just got her a Zippo lighter with a name on it, which you could just use at events, at social gatherings. Whereas the one I'd got her, which had about 18 words on it, she probably buried. And that is my shame.
I think that deserves a round of applause. John. I can't believe you cast aspersions on Ash. What the fuck were you doing?
Well, I didn't cover her wall in Zippo lighters. But it was, I do still think of that at night when I can't get to sleep and I blush on my own in a room.
No, I know.
And I just wish it had never happened.
But you just do it, don't you?
Yeah.
You just, has anyone else got any other stuff they've done? We're going to stop.
Please let it be uplifting.
So I've got, yes!
Yes!
Something my boyfriend actually gave me, one of my ex-boyfriends. There was a t-shirt that I really, really liked, but it was really expensive, so I couldn't afford it. And so, like, my boyfriend went camping and then came back and had this t-shirt to give me. And he was camping in Wales, and it was the t-shirt that I wanted. And I looked at it, and he said, "Oh, don't worry, it's been in the wash." It's like, what do you mean by that? He'd found it on the side of a mountain in Wales and had given it to me. He didn't understand why I was a little put off by that. He said, "Oh, I thought you'd like it because it's recycling. It's the t-shirt you wanted."
And so it was the exact t-shirt you wanted in your size?
Yep.
But what? It was meant to be. Have you never loved?
It was more.
He found the exact t-shirt you wanted on the side of a mountain.
But it's like a film.
And all he did was wash it, and you cast him away like so many pebbles on a beach.
I actually wore it as pyjamas the entire time.
Don't wear it as pyjamas!
I mean, that is the ultimate insult.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah. Don't wear it as pyjamas. Wear it as your Sunday best.
It had holes in the sleeves.
Oh, it had holes in it. So was it pretty kind of worn?
Yeah, it was. It looked like someone had had sex on the mountain and then just chucked his t-shirt away.
Yeah. Did he find some other stuff with it?
No.
Like a corpse. Did he take it off a body off Snowdonia?
I don't think so. I really hope not.
What was it? What kind of t-shirt was it, out of interest? Was it an unusual t-shirt?
It was just a Frankie Says Relax t-shirt, but it was used. Yeah.
I mean, they're available online.
Yeah, but I mean, also, that isn't... It's not like you were like, "I really want a plain white t-shirt." I mean, that's quite a specific thing to find on a mountain. I feel like...
Well, no, because if Frankie says relax and you're suffering from hypothermia, that's the last thing you want to do. What you want to do is not relax, invigorate yourself, find warmth, find succor, use your Kendall mint cake.
Yeah.
Maybe eat your partner's leg. Someone relaxed too much on this mountain, and it was their downfall.
Well, his mum told him he probably shouldn't have given it to me, and my mum told him off too, but...
Hey! I feel for this guy. Yeah. What was his name?
Tom.
His Tom, poor Tom.
And you're not going out.
Poor Tom's a cold. No. Thanks, mate. That's King Lear.
Well done, John.
Cold
after
whatever
you've had to drink tonight, you managed to get a King Lear reference into a podcast.
Poor Tom's a cold. Come on, guys.
Well, I mean...
Because he's not got his Frankie Says Relax t-shirt. Pity poor Tom. I'll just keep saying it. Pity poor Tom. Poor Tom's a cold.
You've really done good work today, John. You have. You've really excelled yourself in both podcasts. You have. Thank you. What's your name?
Anna.
Anna, thank you, Anna.
I mean, to be honest,
I feel that I would have stayed with him, but...
I'm not.
You're not going out with anyone?
No.
Well, because a t-shirt from a mountain isn't good enough for you. What do you want?
I don't know. That's probably why I'm single.
Yeah, it probably is.
What I imagined this podcast. We're going to wrap up now. Thank you so much for coming. This has been an experiment, and I've very much enjoyed it. I think what I'm going to do is, so I'm going to play the song that I did at the top and leave more gaps for John to say things.
Is that a three-quarter guitar?
Yeah.
They're really nice to play. They are, though. They're much easier. I find them easier.
Your voice went really weird then.
I think I was too moved by your choice of guitar size. Cogs always uses one of them.
Who's that?
Incognito.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Incognito's a great comic from the West Country. I bet he's been to Yate.
And back. Don't know what that means. I'm sure he's been to Yate and back, otherwise he'd still be in Yate. Keep that in.
If you keep anything in.
Just that. Sod the rest of it off. Just like a 10-second podcast.
That'd be good, actually. Keep that in. Okay, here we go. Are you vaping on stage?
Please make sure you enunciate that.
Yeah, are you vaping on stage?
Yes, I am.
Are you allowed to do that?
Oh, the regime don't like it.
I thought it was banned now. Anyway, that's for another podcast.
Banned on Southeast trains, which I disagree with.
You're wearing lovely smart clothes like your Sunday best. That's so nice. He's wearing trousers with a crease iron down the front. Are they new?
Oh, no.
What I mean is, are they like straight off the hanger and that crease was there? Or yeah. Oh, right. So once you wash them, are you going to iron the crease into them or just have them?
I will.
You will? You will? Will you really? There's things an example of the love, things we do for love. Right, guys? Will you really? Fucking hell. That's incredible. I don't iron anything. I guess I'm a worse human being than her. Okay. The things we do for love. Hey, that's going to be a good jingle, isn't it? Okay. The things we do for love. The things we do for love. The things we do for love. With my guest.
John Robbins.
Whose girlfriend's middle name is?
Patricia.
Well done. Well done. Well done. Whose first ever gig he went to was?
What sort of gig?
Music gig.
Pulp NEC 96.
Yes, good. The things we do for love. The things we do for love. Who lost his virginity at age... I didn't mean to say that, but give the answer. You don't have to.
Between... 13 and My mum won't listen to this, it's fine. I was 14, but I did not grow up on a council estate. And I later attended Oxford University, so I want people to know that the age was in no way to do with my sort of social standing.
Was it in and out, or was it proper sex?
Well, I don't know what that means. What's the difference?
In and out is what someone did at the rubbish dump when I was 12, where it just went in and out once.
I think this, you, as all great philosophers do, your question says more about you than it does about me.
Things we do for love. Yay, that's the end. Thank you very much to my guest, John Robbins. I'm Lizzie Sutton.
That was Izzy Sooty's The Things We Do For Love, hosted by Izzy Sooty, featuring guest John Robbins. The theme music was by Charlie Jefferson. Thanks to The Phoenix for having us, to the British Comedy Guide for hosting us, and to Natasha Caffrey and Katie Story for helping out on the night. The Things We Do For Love is produced by Ben Walker for Fuzz Productions and the Internet. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed The Things We Do For Love, then you might also enjoy Izzy's new book, The Actual One, which is available in shops and online now. Please visit izzysooty.com for more details.